welcome everyone back to our service this evening. You know, throughout this letter to the Hebrew children, the writer has encouraged the readers to remain steadfast. And one of the things that Brother Brian pointed out this morning is we stay within the context of the verses and of the letter that was written to the Hebrew children. And many times when we study a book, a chapter, or study a lesson and everything, sometimes we become more concerned about the application for today, when really we should be concerned about the application concerning the context that was basically written. This evening I have Hebrews chapter 13, and my lesson comes from verse 7 and also verse 17. And Brother Brian touched on this morning concerning remembering them that have the rule over us. Again, the Hebrew writer has continued throughout this, throughout the book or the letter to encourage the readers to remain steadfast. If you remember, there is a warning not to drift away. He encourages them in chapter 2 and verse 1 to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And in Hebrews 3 and verse 14, there is a promise of becoming partakers of Christ. There the writer says that we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. And then there are exhortations to be diligent that we read in Hebrews 4, verse 11, and also in chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. There it said, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise." And in Hebrews 10 and verse 23, there is a reminder of God's faithfulness. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." And then we read in Hebrews 10, verse 35 and verse 36, there we find a promise of a great reward. There he says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." When you take in consideration the exhortations to the Hebrew Christians, all of the teachings of Hebrews, we can apply these same exhortations to our life today. As the writer ends the letter to the Hebrew children, we find some final exhortations that appear to encourage the Hebrew children to remain steadfast. The text we read in verse 7, "Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And in verse 17 it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you." Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. You know, we're talking about the context of the verses and the letter to the Hebrew children. Brother Mike reminded me at this morning after service that we were visiting about a few things, and he made the statement to me that none of the Bible was written to us. None of it. It was written for us. And so when we keep that thought, then we understand why it's so important to remain in the context of what's written. Beginning with our text, verse number 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. We're going to look at this verse, and we're going to look at some of the words and what they actually mean. From our text in verse 7, the word remember does not mean to have the same meaning that it does in verse 3. In verse 3, it says, remember them that are in bonds. It means to care for. But here, it means to be mindful of or to call to mind. It means to call to mind them which have the rule over you. It further means to persevere in mind, namely to feel grateful for their instructions and to follow their example. The writer encourages the Hebrew children to imitate the life of these rulers who taught God's word to them. The word rule here means to be a leader, to command, to have authority over. These having the rule over them are not limited to overseers in the sense of elders, but to any leading and influential men, perhaps some of their teachers who had some authority over them. Those apparently refer to the same rulers mentioned in verse 17 and also in verse 24. More than anyone else, the writer may be referring to other apostles whom they had heard preach the gospel at this time. We don't know which apostles they may have heard, but they obviously heard some of them teach God's word, because the writer says in Hebrews 2, verse 3 and verse 4, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So the writer to the Hebrew children wants them to remember certain men and to imitate their faith. He means men who they were well acquainted with, such men as gospel preachers who taught them God's word, men such as Stephen, who persevered in faithfulness and who stood up for the Lord, even though he became a martyr for Jesus. We read in the scriptures in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, also verse 8, and also in chapter 9, verse 55 through 59, concerning Stephen. There it says, And the saying pleased the whole multitude, that they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And in verse 8 it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. It was such men as these that the writer spoke of to encourage his Hebrew children, to strengthen them and to strengthen their faith so that they will not revert to Judaism. In verse 17 of our text, there it says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it all with joy and not with grief. That is unprofitable for you. The word obey here means to listen or to comply with. By references to them that have the rule over you, the writer is telling them to comply with those whom they have recognized as having authority over them. These who rule over are not only the elders of the church, but at that time, the letter to the Hebrews was written, it also included teachers and apostles, once again we mentioned that. Today it would mean elders, teachers, gospel preachers, and evangelists. The writer emphasizes the need to obey the ones in authority and to submit to them. The word submit here means to yield to the authority of the church rulers who have remained steadfast in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. A fellow by the name of Robert Mulligan, Gospel Abbot Commentary, says this: "It is the duty of the elders to teach. It is also manifestly the duty of the other members of the church to receive their lawful instructions. And it is the duty of the former to rule. It is equally the duty of the latter to submit to all their acts of discipline which are not in violation to the law of Christ." Our text says, "For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account." So the rulers of the church, these elders, these teachers, evangelists, and at that time of the writing also the apostles, they're represented by the shepherd. And the members of the congregation are sheep. Rulers, the writer says, watch for their souls, meaning they are to be attentive to their souls. The warning is that every ruler must maintain a constant alertness and observation of members, over all the members of the congregation. Instructions to watch for their souls, watch for the souls of the members, must not be taken lightly by the rulers, because they must give an account. And they must give an account for the members. And also the actions when the members follow their instructions. To give an account means to give an answer or to give an explanation in reference to the judgment. This is not only a reference to rulers, but to every member of the congregation, because all of God's children are admonished to watch for the souls of one another. And they're admonished to warn them when they violate the instructions of God. The prophet Ezekiel recorded the words of the Lord as he was talking to his people. And there he says in Ezekiel 3, verse 18 through verse 21, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require of thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sins, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live. Because he is warned, also thou hast delivered his soul. Again from our text, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The writer speaks of the ruler's joy here, but the emphasis is on the members who may or may not remain faithful. The ruler's joy refers to their gladness, which is opposite of the word grief. The writer is not saying the membership of a congregation must obey the rulers so that the rulers may have joy in ruling. Instead, he is teaching that the rulers, if they rule well, will have joy for every member who perseveres in faithfulness to Jesus Christ. The Apostle John writes the same message to Gaius in 3 John verse 4, where he says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Rulers receive joy, not because the members obey them, but because they obey God and are walking in the truth. The Apostle Paul writes the same message in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19 and verse 20. There the Apostle Paul says, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. If the rulers suffer grief over members not remaining faithful, the writer says that is unprofitable for you." Thayer says that means it is hurtful and destructive for his Christian life. Therefore, the encouragement for every child of God is to live his life in a way that will be spiritually profitable for him. In closing, you know, as we study these final exhortations that were written to the Hebrew children, we think of all who have had an influence on our Christian life. But more important than that, that we are reminded of the responsibility to encourage one another, to remain steadfast, and to strengthen our faith as we continue. If there's anyone that is subject to the gospel call, we bid you come while we stand in sin.